You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, October 21st, 2024. Grandpa Dan, streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. It is Monday. Starting your work week off, and what better way to start it off than a good cup of coffee and tuning in to RadioAlbion.com. I appreciate you joining us today. I don't have a news story to go over today. I'm just going to talk about some general topics. Usually, as usual, related to various things I observe in human behavior and in people's behavior. And I saw something, I was watching a video. We may get into several things today. I don't know. I don't know where this is going, to be honest. To be honest, I have no idea where this is going, but hopefully it will at least be somewhat entertaining, informative, instructive. I don't know. But I do enjoy watching and observing human behavior and the patterns, you know, a behavior people have. I was watching a video yesterday. It was one of that lag time, you know. So you know what I'm talking about, that lag time. Like, you finish doing everything you're doing for the day, but it's a little bit early to go to bed, you know. It's a little early to go to bed. And sometimes when it's at that time of the day, I will watch some videos. I'll watch some videos on the YouTube of different things that I find informative, usually not relating to things like we discuss here on the show. Just different topics, stuff that I find interesting. And I guess one of the reasons I find these different things interesting is standing back and observing people's behavior. A lot of times, because I will sit there and I'll watch a video regardless of the topic, and I have to go through the comments, because the comments are a lot of times just as, if not more informative to me than the content itself. And I was thinking of several examples of this. But yesterday, for example, we'll start off with this and it will migrate to some other things. But yesterday I was watching a video, you know, about China. I'm interested in how other people live. I was talking to someone here recently, and I said, I just find it really interesting how other people live their lives and their different cultures. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, I want to go live and try to be like them. I just accept that they're different. And I find different human behaviors to be fascinating. Well, you know, the way they view things and the way their race, honestly, you know, shapes their worldview. It shapes their culture. It shapes the way they view the world around them, other people, the people in their community, and how these people interact in their community. So I a lot of times I'll watch videos. Like, for instance, I'll watch a video, you know, on how, by Japanese people, about how life really is in Japan. You know, as a bit of an anime fan myself, it's always funny to me, because you run into white people and they have this romanticized view of what life in Japan is like. And I will often respond to this and say, well, what this person, you know, what they're in love with, what they're fascinated about is anime Japan, not actual Japan. And on occasion, some of these people will actually go over there. And generally speaking, they usually wind up having a really rough time, because real Japan is not anime Japan. They go to a foreign country, and what they know of the culture is something that's not real. You know, it's fiction. It's just a story. It'd be like if you watched a bunch of fantasy stories about, you know, medieval England, and you went over to modern day England, expecting to see, you know, charming peasant villages, and instead you get modern Britain. I watched a video recently of these Japanese people doing a video in English, and, you know, they were talking about the problems foreigners have when they come there, when they try to move there and they try to actually live there. And of course, what they mean by foreigners is they mean white people. And again, I think a lot of it is white people go to a place like Japan expecting to find anime Japan instead of real Japan, not really even bothering to really learn and understand the actual, you know, characteristics of how these people live. For, I mean, one of the most obvious glaring examples of this is these people live stacked on top of each other. They live in these extremely densely populated urban areas. I would go literally insane in probably about 3 days at the max living like that. I know. I don't have like any illusions of that. I could not live that way, but they can. They can because they're different. I watched a video yesterday, and it was about China. I find videos about China, you know, today to be interesting because being in America, I have the benefit of looking at these videos about how China is. And I get to look at them with the backdrop of the propaganda, you know, the narratives. Oh, China, boy, they're so backwards. You know, if you went by American propaganda, you would think it was this, you know, oppressive backwater shithole. And instead, they're basically on the cutting edge of modern technology. It's interesting to me to watch actual videos, you know, showing what it is like around there, you know, in the real world. I watched a video, and it was a video about China has gone in to Indonesia and built this, because Indonesia had all this, they had this big problem of unreliable power supply, unreliable electricity. So China has gone in and built this modern, you know, cutting edge, modern coal-fired electric power plant. And so now they have reliable electricity. It's interesting if you're interested in it, and not if you're not, I suppose. But as I said earlier, one of the things I find entertaining is to read comments. And because that's kind of where the entertainment factor is. And I was skimming through the comments on this video, and somebody piped up and said, and says, nobody does stuff like this out of charity. You know, a big, powerful company doesn't, does not come in and build you an electric power plant as some sort of charity. I hate to inform you. This just isn't, they don't come in and do these things out of charity. I found this very interesting. It's such a, I don't know how to put it, it's such a midwit take. And I feel strange saying that, a midwit take. You know, it's just this midwit point of view. And because I look at myself, I self-reflect. I don't consider myself a moron, but I also don't consider myself some sort of super high intellect genius person. So it seems kind of disingenuous to talk about a midwit take about these midwits. Because if I'm not a super genius and I'm not a moron, does that not make me somewhere in the middle? But yet, if we talk about a midwit take, I think all of you know what we're talking about. You see, when you talk about a midwit, it's somebody who, at best, is in the middle spectrum of intelligence. And yet, for some strange, unfathomable reason, they seem to think they're super smart. These people will state the absolute most obvious things. And you can tell by the way they state it and whatnot that they think they're telling you something profound that you've never thought of before. This is, I think, what is commonly understood as the midwit take. the midwit will slop up the most, will slurp up the most vile slop offered by Western media and regurgitate that and believe that this shows intelligence on their part. Now, like this comment, for instance, no big country comes in and does this out of charity. And I read that and chuckled, and I'm like, well, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. I mean, who's even saying that? Now, granted, the video in question is, you know, obviously been created to cast a positive light on China. Well, yeah, of course, they're going to do that. But this take of, well, let me tell you something profound. Nobody's doing this out of charity. And, you know, and your point is, it's as if to say, if somebody's just not giving something away out of absolute charity, then they must have, the insinuation being made is that they must have some sort of then malevolent intent. You see, they're tricking you. That's all. They're just tricking you. Now you think about this. They're not doing this out of charity. Well, no. I'm sure obviously they're going to get something in return. This is a project, this is a part of the Belt and Road Initiative. And of course, Indonesia is going to cooperate with China in some other area. They're not doing it for free. They're not doing it out of charity. But that doesn't mean there's malevolence involved. Now, the midwit seems completely incapable of putting this against the backdrop of what the U.S. does. The U.S. does all sorts of things in the world in the name of charity, in the name of human rights. And yet, they usually, these are always destructive policies. You look at this, and I always tell people, the easiest way to understand this is, you know, as far as the difference, the U.S. will come in somewhere, some country, and they'll say, we want you to have this policy. We want you to do this for us, or you have these resources that we want. This is followed up with some version of give it to us or else. And the or else can take many forms. The government in charge of that country, if they resist, will face some sort of color revolution to overthrow their government and put one in that's friendly to the U.S. These are not peaceful either. And, or this can range to just directly bombing and invading and attacking this country. It can take several forms. But the general theme is do what we want or else. Now, the way a country like China goes about things is they approach these countries and say the same thing. We want you to have this policy in our favor. We want you to cooperate with us in this. Or you have these resources and we want them. And then instead of or else, they basically pull out their checkbook and say, what's it going to cost? What do you want? What can we do for you to get this in exchange? This idea that, oh, if it's not done in some form of charity, then there's some malevolent intent. But as the person who makes a comment such as this, the midwit is unable to they're unable to grasp their own point. Nobody does anything for charity, and yet you look at all of the things the U.S. Empire does in the name, and they try to promote it as we're doing this because of charity, human rights, and equality, or whatever. Now, if you were in the shoes, or you were running a smaller, less powerful country, who would you rather deal with? Somebody's going to show up and point a gun in your face, or somebody's going to show up with their checkbook and you just have to negotiate, you know, you have to negotiate a price. I mean, it's just such an obvious step. Well, I mean, of course China is expecting something in return. Why the hell wouldn't they? But the insinuation, they're not doing it out of charity. Oh, you didn't understand that, did you? Well, actually, nobody's doing anything out of charity. But, yes, everybody's looking to get something in return. But a mutual exchange is a lot better. There's a huge difference if you're selling something to somebody and they come and give you cash and take what it is you're selling versus somebody who shows up, points a gun in your face and just takes your stuff. It's a huge difference. You get into these discussions and inevitably one of these people will start trying to point out various problems that China has. They'll accuse you of being some sort of shill. You don't understand. China's economy, they've got some problems. You know, these areas over here in China, they're not very developed after all. You're just seeing the good stuff. They've got this problem. They've got that problem. They have this, so they have that. In other words, because they have not managed to create a utopia, thus anything else they're doing is disqualified. This, too, I think, works to get you to look away from the problems at home. And one of the reasons you'll see this generated propaganda against a country like China to really highlight any issues they have and create this false picture of this weird foreign boogeyman. They don't want you looking around at our own crumbling infrastructure, at our own ever-increasing third world status when it comes to standard of living. Oh, but it's much worse over there. The one thing they don't want you looking at, researching, and understanding is how people actually live over there. Now, again, they're foreign people. It doesn't necessarily mean, say, you would want to live in their culture, but to sit there and try to paint some ridiculous propaganda backdrop that they're living in backwater rice paddies in a hut somewhere, you know, that's just silly. It's just ridiculous. One of the things Americans can't, the average American mind, is they can't fathom that other people don't want to do things the way America does. In other words, they'll point out and they'll say, oh, well, they're just trying to take over. See, it's a competition. America is either number one or China's just going to dominate the world as an empire. It never dawns on them that a country like China can look at the world and look at the U.S. empire and how it's crumbling. They don't fathom that they could look at this and go, we got to be sure that we don't do that. You know, what are the upsides to empire? What are we as the American people getting as a benefit of the American empire? Not saying there's no benefits, but I believe the benefits are quickly being, shall we say, outweighed by the negatives. And it never dawns on people that a country would choose not to be an empire. To look around and go, we don't want to go down that road. It's expensive. You wind up with all these problems. You wind up with constant conflicts. You cannot have an empire without bringing other peoples in. You know, if you're going to colonize other countries, then that means ultimately, the people, these different racial people, are going to be able to have access and to flow into your country. And this causes more internal strife. And it never dawns on these people that another country that's doing well would look around and say, we don't want the American way. We don't want to do what America's doing. Maybe America is not so exceptional, at least not in a positive manner. Isn't it funny? Somebody will pipe up and say, they're not doing this out of charity. Where are these people to explain America's inexplicable charity towards Israel? The U.S. gives billions of dollars in money, weapons, military hardware to Israel. Seems pretty charitable. If nobody does anything out of charity, which, okay, what's the U.S. getting out of it? You're hard-pressed to say, well, what part of this? These Middle East conflicts don't actually benefit the American empire. And there's even people who are fairly intelligent, or maybe they have, you know, they write opinion pieces, you know, or analysis. They all seem, many of them seem, at least, to fail to be able to explain. They'll say, oh, well, no, the U.S. is using Israel. They're using Israel as an extension, a projection of American imperial power. But what is the empire getting out of these Middle East conflicts? No matter how you look at it, it seems like the beneficiary is Israel itself. So again, if nobody's doing anything out of charity, why the charity from the U.S. empire towards Israel? Just hard, you're hard-pressed to see where it benefits the empire itself supporting Israel. If this is just the empire doing empire things, the logical thing is it's about time for the empire to cut Israel loose. And does anybody actually think that is going to happen? So why the charity? That quickly, of course, will get you into territory that you're not allowed to speak of. Here in the U.S., you will hear a lot about the divide between the right and the left. And by the right, they mean, you know, Trump, your average Trump-supporting, Second Amendment-loving, you know, conservative type, and the left. And yet, one of the most humorous things, you know, they'll say, though, that you have this vast divide, you know, between the left and the right in America. They see things in such stark contrast. There's no bringing, there's just a chasm between the left and the right. These extreme views of the country, and there's nothing they can agree on. And yet, if you go into the territory of discussing why is America so generous and charitable towards Israel, does this imply that perhaps this lobby for Israel has undue amount of influence in the U.S. government? Perhaps, you know, there's a reason why all of the media seems to promote the same narratives. When you get to touching that third rail, when you get close to that third rail, you'll quickly find the one thing the most far-left Antifa person and the most far-right normicon gun-loving Second Amendment-promoting person will quickly come together to criticize and attack you for daring to question our greatest ally ever. Seems kind of strange, isn't it? Those who believe they have a hot take about what's going on in some other country just can't seem to take a moment to stop and wrap their minds around what's going on in their own country. One of the internet memes I think is real funny, you know, is the meme, you know, from The Shining, the scene where Jack Nicholson runs the axe through the door and does the hello Johnny, and there's a meme, you know, and instead of that's the American sticking their head going, let me tell you about your country. It always amazes me. I always find it so funny because it's true. But, you know, Americans, generally speaking, know the least of probably anyone on the world about anyone else's country, and yet they will sit there and try to explain to people who live in that country about their own country. You don't let me tell you about your country. Americans would be well served to spend more time looking at their own country and what's wrong with it. I watched another video, and it was a case up in Alaska, and this teenage girl was having a teenage girl moment. And the family called the police, and the police, which is always a mistake, handle your domestic shit yourself. Don't call the police, but they called the police. Police show up. Girl is, this obese teenage girl turns around and she has a knife in her hand. And so the cops gun her down and kill her. And of course the cops are cleared of any wrongdoing, and people look at the body. They release the body cam video, and people, it's like, well, that bitch had a knife in her hand. She had a knife in her hand. What do you expect? It's America's heroes. They got to remember officer safety. People don't know. You know, most people, when you look, I remember I was talking about this to somebody, and I said, you know, back in my day, the police wouldn't have even pulled their guns out. They wouldn't even dawned on them. Back in the 80s or the early 90s, they wouldn't have dawned on them to whip their guns out in a situation like that, especially when there's four of them and one obese 16-year-old female. Now, they might have pulled one of their billy clubs out and broke a bitch's wrist, but they're not going to whip out their gun because they know, they would have known, there was no threat here. You watch this video, and these cops show up with like four layers of body armor on, you know, carrying military-style weapons. They've got tasers, they've got stun guns, they've got this beanbag launching thing that will knock the crap out of you. And they still whip out their pistol and shoot this. I said, you know, look, it's an obese 16-year-old female. You're standing there. Trust me, if she starts swinging at you, it's going to look like she's in slow motion. Just wait and grab them. Send them down on the ground. And yet, it comes across like they're just looking for an excuse. Like, oh my gosh, look, she has a knife. We can shoot her. Again, in the comments, in the videos, is what I find interesting, because the vast majority of the comments is, you know, police evil. You know, these dirty cops type of thing. And yet, again, when you simply remember when it wasn't that way, this militarizing of the police really kicked off after 9/11. This was one of those things when they passed the Patriot Act. I lived through this. I've seen it. It wasn't like this. If you're 24 years old today, you have no idea. Look, it used to not be like this. This was a post 9/11 thing. All of a sudden, you started seeing cops with all this body armor on, helmets. They've all got military style weapons. Hell, police. I went through a small town recently, a little podunk town recently, and I went past their police station and they had a tank out there. Well, not a tank, an armored personnel SWAT response vehicle in a town that probably has maybe 2,000 people in it. And they have an armored personnel carrier sitting out in front of the damn police station. For what? This all came after 9/11. They militarized the police. They filled the police departments with these people, a lot of them ex-military. And the training went from de-escalate, you know, and handle the situation with the least amount of force necessary to exert your authority. And most of these people are low IQ enough, their version of exert your authority is to yell louder and to scream at people. We've all seen these videos where they stop a suspect and you've got four cops screaming at them, trying to scream louder than the cop next to them, and they're all saying something different. And when the person's looking around like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, then they just open fire. It used to not be like that. I mean, it doesn't. When you know that it used to not be this way, you know then, in turn, that there's no reason for it to be this way now. It's just an amazing thing. These cops are covered in body armor. You got a 16-year-old girl who has a knife in her hand. She's not lunging at them, mind you. She's standing there, and the guy opens up his pistol. It's, you know, just, you know, basically mag dumping. It's like, oh my gosh, we can do it. It used to not be this way. In a situation when I was growing up, when I was a young person, a young adult, if a situation like that happened, like say the cop, you think of one of the most, you know, people talk about George Floyd, you know, but before George Floyd, I just chuckled myself because I realized the older you get, now I realize why old people always talking about the way things used to be. You know, when you're young, you don't understand why old people talk about things. And now when you start getting old, you do the same thing because people don't understand. Before George Floyd, there was Rodney King. One of the most famous riots that erupted in the U.S. was over Rodney King. Again, many of you probably aren't old enough to remember that. But if you are old enough to remember that, I pointed out to somebody the other day, the Rodney King riots happened. The whole controversy with that is because the cops beat the shit out of Rodney King. And this sparked the LA riots. But Rodney King was fine. I mean, he got his ass kicked, but he was fine. But they caught it on video. There was video, I think, from a helicopter. And Rodney King had run from the cops. And the cops drug his ass out. And you got four cops on him just beating the crap out of him. And this sparked these riots. And I pointed out, they didn't shoot him. They didn't tase him. They beat the crap out of him. I mean, yeah, they show pictures of him the next day. And he had a black eye. He had a black eye. And he was all beat up. And I'm sure he didn't enjoy the ass kicking. I'm not making light of that. But he was alive. He didn't get, you know, shot 28 times because of officer safety. And yet, this was a huge controversial event that resulted in riots. And here we are today. How much better is it now, today? It is like, with the after 9/11, the militarized police, it's like they're looking for you to check off enough boxes in their minds, this is a justified shooting. Instead of looking at a situation going, well, that would be a last resort. We really don't want to shoot somebody. And so it's like the opposite. Oh my gosh, look, they have a knife in their hand. I'm screaming at them and they haven't dropped it yet. I've checked off enough boxes. I can kill them and get away with it. But what about officer safety? A lot of people don't realize this. In the prison system, you're not allowed to have guns. This is true. In the prison system, the correctional officers do not have guns. If the police show, the police are never called, virtually never called, unless there's like they lose control of the prison and they need a perimeter secured, and that's all they will do. It's up to the prison staff to gain control of the prison. If the police, for some reason, show up, like say, for instance, you've got a staff member at the prison has been caught with drugs. They have to call the police to arrest this person. When the police show up, they can't get through the gate. They have to stop at the office and turn their weapons in. No one is allowed inside with guns. And the reasoning is those weapons could be taken away from them and cause a worse situation. It's good policy. It makes sense. But a lot of people don't realize, they think correctional officers are walking around with guns and they're guarding these prisoners, and they're not. The only people inside the prison perimeters who have guns are those guys in the tower, because the inmates can't get up there. They can stand up there with their rifle and they can shoot somebody trying to escape. Now, inmates will make shanks. Everybody knows this. Inmates will make weapons and knives. And these correctional officers will be sometimes confronted with these people. And these correctional officers do not have multiple layers of body armor on, and yet somehow they manage to get by. How is that? Well, because for starters, they're usually going to start off telling the person, look, you know, you're not going to win this. You're just going to make things worse for yourself. Go ahead and put that down. Let's just wrap this up. And if worse comes to worse, there's four of them. The guy's going to take his swing. And as soon as he does, all four guys are going to pile on this guy. You see, when they don't have this option of mag dumping on somebody, you actually have to use a little creativity. You have to like use your brain a little bit. Now, I'm not sitting here saying the police shouldn't have guns. I'm not saying the police don't have a shitty, dangerous job. But what I'm saying is, pre-9/11, they managed to do that job. It's funny to think of all the people who were criticizing the LA cops back during the Rodney King thing for kicking Rodney King's ass. Is it better now? How much police reform have we had since the LA riots? Now, the police are just going to mag dump on you. But this is somehow better. Kind of indicative of the overall state of the country. You have something, people say, oh my gosh, there's a problem here. And now we've had decades to improve upon that. And by every single metric available, things are actually much worse. If you get stopped by the cops, you're not sitting there thinking, if I get mouthy with this guy, he might drag me out and kick my ass. Instead, you're thinking, I hope he doesn't start screaming, officer safety, stop resisting, and empty his pistol into me. How is this any sort of improvement? I should have probably done this whole show on this topic. You know, this constant screaming, you know, about my heroes and officer safety. And the fact that it really, look, it used to not be. There's, when somebody pulls something out of the blue and tries to claim because it's not utopia, you know, there's a problem. That's a whole different thing when somebody can sit here, as I'm doing now, and pointing out that, you know, we went decades without it being this way. We went years and years with the police not behaving the way they behave now, not behaving the way that they've been trained to behave since 9/11. Because, you know, we got to stop the evil Muslim terrorists. All in the name of that. Now we have this militarized police. They all walk around with their buzz cuts, their steroid arms, covered in tattoos, just waiting for you to check off enough boxes to where they can empty a magazine into you if you get out of line, because they can get away. Instead of, well, that would be a last resort, how can we resolve this situation? So looking at this and saying, well, how come we used to not do it this way and we had a lot fewer problems? Like I say, I'm sure Rodney King didn't enjoy getting his ass kicked, but I'm sure he was also glad that they didn't just pull their pistols out and shoot him either. And here we are today with the state of things. Why is that? How is this in any way, shape, or form some, you know, version of things are getting better? And yet, people will turn a blind eye to this, and they'll point at other countries and say, oh, well, they've got problems. I thought it makes you think of the biblical admonition, you know, don't worry about the splinter in your brother's eye when you have a board in your own. Anyway, I thought about this discussion, and it's something interesting. I always find human behavior to be an interesting thing. So I thought, well, we'll just have a discussion on this. Again, I hope you got something out of it. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots. It'll be more interesting than this. Dr. Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist, part two of his show from last week. Dr. Johnson will be back Thursday with his Daily Nationalist. And I have every intention to be back here on Friday, assuming I can think of something interesting to talk about to wrap up your week. So again, hope you enjoyed it. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.